For the beautiful message of the resurrection. Where would we be today without it? We would be the most hopeless of creatures. We were separated from you by our own rebellion, but nothing would keep you from reaching out, from coming down to earth, from taking on our flesh, from carrying our sin to the cross.
It was you. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin." God's people knew it well. Throughout their history, sacrifices had been made to remind them of the cost of disobedience. And when Jesus came, his purpose from the beginning was to give his life to shed his blood in our place.
On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, Matthew says, "He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'"
The plan that Scripture says had been in place since the foundation of the world unfolded step by step. On the cross, he became God's perfect sinless lamb. With his own blood, he paid the price of our sin to redeem each of us.
right, at this time we're going to take a few minutes of break, so stand up, stretch your legs, and we'll come back in here at 11. So 8 minutes. Thank you. Good morning, 12th Street. He is risen. It's nice to get up on an Easter morning and see sunshine, right? I just have to imagine that that very first Easter, that it was a nice, bright morning. And when Jesus rose from the dead, that the sun had to shine on that day. And so it's good to see the sun shining. At least it was this morning earlier. And hopefully, well, praise God we didn't get the snow showers they're calling for, right? So we'll take that. Well, before we go back into our choir cantata, there's a few announcements that I'd like to go through. This coming week, all week, the church office will be closed, okay? So if you see Cheryl or Lynn's cars here at the church, let me know, okay? Next week, because I'm not answering my phone this week. But we're going to dock their pay if they show up. So they're both volunteer, if you don't know, and they're here 40 to 60 hours a week. And so, the offices will be closed this week. If you need to get hold of someone, you can call a deacon. And if it's a dire emergency, call my phone, and eventually I'll check my messages, and I'll have somebody get back to you. We do want to say thank you to those who volunteered for the Easter egg hunt. The weather was terrible. We had lots of eggs, though. 10,000 eggs, over 10,000 eggs. The nice thing about it is there's still a lot of them out there. So during junior church, kids, you have a job, all right? So that'll be good. Also, next Sunday, Jeff Taunton from the Detroit Tigers, he's their chaplain. He'll be preaching here next Sunday. We will have combined Sunday school with adults and teens. All the adult classes and teen classes will meet in here. And Jeff will be presenting a mission ministry that he has started and that he's involved with. And then during the morning service, he'll be preaching as well. And so you don't want to miss it. Jeff does a wonderful job. He's a great communicator. We are looking for volunteers for the church grounds for mowing and things like that. If you'd like to do that, 14 acres on an X-mark going 20 miles an hour. It's a beautiful thing. Maybe not 20, but if you'd like to get out and just enjoy cutting some grass, we could use some help, some volunteers for that. So you can either see Joel Ritzma or sign up at the Welcome Center. The youth have their murder mystery dinner is coming up. You cannot buy tickets at the door. You have to pre-buy them. Autumn is not here this week. She's on vacation. But the tickets will be available, and make sure that you get your tickets for the murder mystery dinner. Also, on April 18th, 19th, and 20th, we are having a senior outreach. It's not just for seniors. It's anybody who's free at 11:30 during the afternoon. Okay, we're doing lunch at 11:30. Then we'll have a game, and then we have some special speakers coming in. On Wednesday, they have to deal with me. Okay, you have to deal with me. But then Thursday, we have James Wells. He's a pastor up in Grand Rapids. He's coming down to speak, and he's a wordsmith. He puts together phrases that you just go, wow, how can anybody speak so beautifully? All right, and he's a solid man. He used to be my senior pastor for 4 years, and so it's going to be a great joy to have him come speak. And then on Friday, my dad is coming to speak, and he's speaking on current world events and how they fit into prophecy. So it'll be a really great time. On Friday, we're having grilled steak and grilled chicken. So if not for anything else, show up for the food, okay? We're hoping to really, we do a lot of things for children, and this is an opportunity for us to reach out to the adult population, and more specifically, our senior adult population. I'm really excited about this. So April 18th, 19th, and 20th, and make sure that you're inviting people to come out for that. Financial Peace University class starts next Sunday at 9 a.m., and so anyone that would like to take part in that, it's a 11 or 12-week course. 9-week course. See, Joel just cut 3 weeks, made your life shorter. But it does cost $124 per couple. If you have problems with that, with coming up with that cost, we've had some people volunteer to say it's so worth it, we'll pay for you to be part of it. So don't miss out on the opportunity to be part of that class. All right, for the rest of the announcements. You can read your bulletin for those. Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord God, I thank you so much for all that you do for us every single day. And I thank you that when we pray to you, we know that we are praying to a living God. I thank you that as we talk to you, that Jesus Christ has already died for our sins. He's been buried, and he has risen from the grave, just as he said he would. And I thank you, Lord, that at right now, when we talk to you, we don't have to go to any person. We don't have to speak through a committee or through a priest or a pastor. But Lord, when we speak right to you because Jesus, you are the mediator between us and the Father, and you and the Father are one. Thank you for giving us the opportunity every day of our life to come boldly into the presence of the throne of God because of your wonderful work that you have done. And so this morning, Lord, we celebrate your resurrection. We thank you for giving your life in exchange for ours and for gaining eternal life for us by conquering death, by conquering the grave, by conquering sin through coming back alive from the dead. You are the one and only true God because of what you have done. And so to you, Lord, we sing praise, we give glory, and this morning, above all mornings, we say praise be to our risen Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You may greet those around you, and choir, come on up to start the second half of the... Oh, I'm sorry. Choir, stay where you're seated. If the ushers could come forward to collect the offering. That's what we're doing. The ushers could come forward to collect the offering. We'd get in big trouble if I forgot the offering, right? All right. And Bryce, if you could lead us out in a word of prayer. Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be able to come here today on Easter to be able to learn for what you did for us, for you died on the cross for our sins, and you were resurrected. Please bless the offering. In your name, amen.
Hebrews 9:22 says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin." God's people knew it well. Throughout their history, sacrifices had been made to remind them of the cost of disobedience. And when Jesus came, his purpose from the beginning was to give his life, to shed his blood in our place.
On the night before Jesus' crucifixion, Matthew says, "He took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'"
The plan that Scripture says had been in place since the foundation of the world unfolded step by step. On the cross, he became God's perfect, sinless Lamb. With his own blood, he paid the price of our sin to redeem each of us.
At least three times, the word tells how Jesus told his closest followers that he would be delivered to the religious leaders of the day, how he would be condemned to death, how he would be handed over to the Romans, how he would be mocked and then beaten and then killed. Yet always with the prediction of his death, he told them he would rise again on the third day.
Now the crucifixion was over. The Savior's body had been buried. His heartbroken followers were in hiding. The Roman guard had been posted at the tomb. Everything looked hopeless. It was time for the third day to dawn.
Not a word was heard at the tomb that day. Just shuffling soldiers' feet as they guarded the grave. One day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus had breathed his last? Could it be that his Father had forsaken him, turned his back on his Son, despising our sins? All hell seemed to whisper, "Just forget him, he's dead." And the Father looked down to his Son and said, "Arise, my love. Lightning from heaven, the stone was rolled away. And as dead men, the guards, they all stood there in fright, as the power of love displayed its might.
And suddenly a melody filled the air, riding wings of wind, it was everywhere.
The words all creation had been longing to hear,
the sweet sound of victory, so
loud and clear.
Oh,
O great Savior, we would be forever separated from God without the cross. We would be destined for eternal death without the empty tomb. What an incredible gift you have given us.
Who but you could breathe and leave the trail of galaxies and dream of me? What kind of love is writing my story till the end with mercy's pen?
Love has won. Alive.
Aren't you thankful today for a God who loves, for one who was willing to empty himself of his glory, to humble himself and become obedient even to death on a cross? And the amazing thing is, he did it all for us. So unworthy, so rebellious, so full of deceit and doubt and shame. Even today, his grace pursues us, and his mercy calls to us. Like the father of the prodigal son, he longs for us to come home.
You think so much of me. You take delight in me. You pay the price for me. Thank you.
We're going to invite you to sing this with us.
Sing, I'll stand. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender all. I am is yours.
We sing, I'll
stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one.
Times when life is hard, even for believers, trouble and heartache are part of living. Jesus didn't promise that this world would be free of pain. In fact, he said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
He also said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me."
And he promised, "My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am."
This world.
The good news today is that the sacrifice has been made to redeem us. Jesus has risen, and death no longer has the power to hurt those who trust in him.
Our Savior has gone ahead to prepare a place for us to be with him always. While we remain here, he has sent his Spirit to empower us to live for him.
He's promised to come back for us.
Amen. One day, we will be here, we will be there when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord.
And we will join those who cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.
Worthy is the Lamb, seated in heaven, beautiful the blood, we are forgiven forever, forgiven forever. The victory is won, Jesus is risen, love has overcome, we are forgiven forever, forgiven.
Church. Church, you know, it's very rare that Easter and Atheist Day fall on the same day. Did you know that? It happens very rarely. Today happens to be one of those days. And you say, well, when is Atheist Day? Well, the Proverbs tells us, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And today is April Fool's Day. So the joke is on them. Because Jesus is real and he is alive. And he is alive today. And he loves each and every one of us. And all who are here, Christ calls to you and he says, I want a relationship with you. He says to you, I want you to be my child. And as the choir sang, I mean, so many of those songs are just so wonderful because they speak to us about the opportunity that we have to live in Christ. So I've got a two-point message this morning, okay? Oh, two-point message. So turn in your Bible real quickly to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. It says this, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and another woman and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. You don't need to turn there, but in John it records that not just Peter ran to the tomb, but John ran with him. And John was younger than Peter, and he outran Peter to the tomb. He got there first. He looked in, but he didn't go in. When Peter got there, Peter barged right in, and they found that the tomb was empty. And in John chapter 20, it says, then went also the other disciple, that's John, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. Now, what's extraordinary to me about this is that there are two different occasions that Jesus very clearly preached to his disciples that he would die, be buried, and rise again the third day. And he taught that very clearly. In fact, he taught it so clearly that Mary, the mother of James the Less, we studied James the Less a couple weeks ago, Salome, the mother of James and John, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and another Mary, because there are just tons of Marys, they all remembered when the angel said, he will rise again, they all remembered that teaching. For some reason, the 11 disciples did not remember it. And Peter and John run to the tomb, they see the empty tomb, and they're just like, what is happening? And then John, he believes, but he still doesn't remember what Jesus had said. It's interesting, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus' teaching before his death that he will die and be raised again from the dead. You know the only gospel writer who doesn't do that? John. Because for some reason, John, although he was close to Jesus, although he was with Jesus, although he was empowered by Jesus, he did not believe until he saw the resurrection. So here's our first point this morning. We have an unbeliever's journey from confusion to clarity. An unbeliever from confusion to clarity. Here's the thing about becoming clear in your faith. Truth needs to be understood. Jesus has told them, I will die and I will rise again. I will die and I will rise again. And he died, and they're like, oh man, bummer, it's over. And then when they see the empty tomb, it's like, how did this happen? Here's the thing. Truth must be understood. So how many of you believe that 2 plus 2 equals 4? All right. Some of you will give math lessons later. It's okay. It's been a while since some of you have been in school. I hope you're not balancing your checkbook, by the way, if you don't believe 2 and 2 are 4. Because there are just some facts. If I take a bowling ball and I throw it up in the air, what do I expect to happen with that bowling ball? For it to float off in outer space, right? Maybe if you're Nate and you got that strong arm. But probably the rest of us, we expect that ball to come crashing back down because we understand gravity. Because there are truths in this world. Here is a truth. Jesus did not stay dead. And until John saw the empty tomb, he didn't believe it. The second thing is that for the unbeliever is that understanding allows faith. If I don't understand something, it's hard for me to have faith in it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to have all the answers. There are still things in the Bible, and I've read the Bible through many, many times. And you know, there are still things that I'm like, man, I don't get that. But what I do get is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. I get that. And if you get that, then you have understanding. Now, that understanding needs to turn into faith. Because ignorance is the enemy of belief. Ignorance is the enemy of belief. Rachel and I were watching James McDonald preach on TV, and he was talking about ignorance, and he had a picture of a rock, like, you know, one that you'd find kind of asphalt looking, and then a picture of a diamond. And he said, if you're going to look for an engagement ring and you believe that all rocks are equal, you've got a problem. See, if you're ignorant about that, you have an issue. By tomorrow, we'll be up in the Rockies, my family and I. If you look at mountains and you believe that all mountains are the same, that's ignorant. There are some mountains. We actually have mountains in Michigan. Did you know that? Yeah, you'd never know it. And then you've got the Rockies. You can't miss them. Here's the thing with Jesus. When you're ignorant about what his resurrection does for you, it is an enemy to your faith. So we need to understand some truths. The first truth you need to understand is your sin does not hold Jesus in the grave. Your sin does not hold Jesus in the grave. His resurrection has already taken place. You fixing your life will not help him rise again. He's already risen. And I know some of you, you've waited on professing your faith. You've waited on trusting Jesus Christ with your life for salvation because you're waiting for your life to be cleaned up and be better. And if that's your goal, I'll get saved when I fix my life, you will never be saved. Because your fixing your life does not bring about the resurrection. He's already risen. The power of sin has already been defeated. Just put your faith in Jesus. Do not wait to be good enough to trust the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection makes you right with God. If you try to be good enough before you trust Christ, that's like getting on a bicycle with no wheels, no chain, no pedals. You can sit on the seat of the bicycle, but you will not be propelled anywhere. The truth of the resurrection is that he's already done the work for you. And he looks to you and he says, I just want you to have faith. I want you to believe. That's for the unbeliever, but I want to talk to the believer now. In Luke 24, it continues. It didn't stop there with the story with Peter running to the tomb. In verse 13, it says, and behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. That's 7.5 miles. So 7.5 mile from Jerusalem to this city, Emmaus. And they talked together of all these things which had happened, of Jesus dying, and then of people talking about an empty tomb. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, their eyes were blinded, their eyes were held back, that they should not know him. We're talking about two disciples. These are part of the 70, not part of the 11. They're part of the 70. They had spent a lot of time with Jesus, and when they saw him, they didn't recognize him. Well, the scriptures tell us that when he was crucified, he was beaten and scarred, and his actual features, characteristics of his face, changed so he didn't even look the same. So much so that when Mary Magdalene saw him in the garden, that she thought he was the gardener, she didn't recognize him. And now these two disciples, part of the 70, they don't recognize Jesus while he's with them, and part of it was their eyes were blinded. It is possible for you to be here this morning and be a believer in Jesus Christ and trust the power of the resurrection, but still feel like you are missing the presence of Jesus. In verse 16, it says, but their eyes were blinded so that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said to him, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? Don't you know the things which are come to pass and are in these days? And he said to them, what things? Now, did Jesus know what things? Yes, he was the subject of them. He wanted to hear their opinion of them. They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near into the village where they went. And And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. They said, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture?" And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They went back the 7.5 miles, and it's evening, it's dark. But why do they run back to Jerusalem? And found the 11 gathered, and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." They were leaving Jerusalem. They were done. Their hopes and dreams were shattered. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but they couldn't even find him in their circumstance, even when he was right with them. So, for just about 3 minutes, I want to talk to you about a believer's confusion to clarity. Even believers spend time in confusion. When they were with Jesus, while he taught them, when he sat down to eat with them, they said, "Our heart burned within us." Okay, it's not the bad kind of heartburn where you need a Prilosec or your Tums or something. This is the kind of, "I felt butterflies in my stomach. I felt like my heart was ready to leap out of my chest because there was something special stirring in me." When is the last time you felt that with your Lord? When's the last time you really lived in the moment of his presence, where you basked in the light of his glory? When's the last time that you really were in love with your Savior? Today is a day to be reminded of that love. They were close to Jesus without recognizing him. And maybe that's you with your walk right now. You're close to Jesus. You know he's there. You know, he said he'd always be here. But you don't recognize him there. They were with Jesus, but they were questioning the events around them. And for some of us, we look at our lives and there are so many things that we can look at and say, "It is so easy for me to question all that's around me, because how in the world could Jesus be with me if these things were happening?" And that's how those two disciples felt. And that's what they were talking about. And Jesus looks at him and goes, "How can you say that?" And if you are feeling like those two disciples, you know what? You're not the first one and you won't be the last to feel that way. But today I want to remind you, he is with you. His blessing opened their eyes. And maybe today what you need is your eyes opened back to the truth that you once believed, that you once held on to, that Jesus is with you. And when they recognized Jesus, they began to proclaim his resurrection. They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the 11 that Jesus is risen indeed. See, this is what happens when the passion returns to our heart, when our soul is stirred again for our Savior, that it wells up within us that we have to tell others that he is risen indeed. I believe that the resurrection is the greatest celebration of our faith. It's better than Christmas. It's a whole lot better than Good Friday. It's better than any other day that you could think of, because today is a day that we celebrate the realization of our hopes, the realization of our faith. If it were not for a risen Savior, we would have no faith. See, the atheist has themselves to believe in. And where does it get them? The skeptic trusts their doubts. The religious have their works. The spiritists cling to a better reincarnation here in this world. But those who have faith in the Bible believe that Jesus, the resurrected Savior, gives eternal life. You could go to Baji, it's near Acre in Israel, and there you could find a place called the Bahula, the most holy place for those of the Baha'i faith. And there you can find their Bahula buried in a tomb. The Buddhist body was cremated in Kushingar of India. And they have monuments where supposedly those were his ashes are today. And you can go visit where the Buddha is buried. The Christian Science. Mary Baker Eddy is buried at Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You can go visit her grave. Confucianism. The grave of Confucius is in the home of Khufu, Shandong, and province in China. And hundreds of thousands people flock to his tomb every year to visit his dead body. According to early Muslim sources, Muhammad is buried in Al-Masjid on Nabawi, which means Mosque of the Prophet. And it's one of their holy sites where they flood to go visit the body of their dead prophet. Scientology, that's the religion of Oprah and Tom Cruise and all those nut jobs. L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of it, was cremated. They threw his ashes into the Pacific Ocean. And people go to the Pacific Ocean to remember L. Ron Hubbard and how he is now at one with the world. There's one tomb of one Savior who 3 days after he was placed there, his body was never again seen there. Because he rose from the dead. He is the one and only Savior. He is the one who lives forever. And he is the one that brings to you and I eternal life. And all those who believe in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 6, verse 40, it says this: "This is the will of God who sent Jesus, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." See, the resurrection isn't just Jesus. The resurrection is that the power of it will be applied to each and every one of us who believe. We will all be raised with him at that last day. We have so much to celebrate today. And the greatest way to celebrate would be if you're one who is in confusion and unbelief. Quit trying. I've talked to too many of you here. You're trying so hard. Quit trying. Jesus already did it for you. Trust in what he has done. Receive his gift. And if you're here this morning and you've already trusted Christ, you know that you're saved, but if you lost that heartburn, there's no day like today that should bring it back. And today's a day where Christ calls to you and says, "I'm with you. I've been walking that 7.5 miles, or for some of you, you've got hundreds of miles of tread." And he says, "I'm walking with you." And maybe today it's just realizing he is here. He hasn't forsaken me. He's with me. And today, he's calling to you to say, reignite that passion. Let that flame burn bright. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we close out the service, I believe that it is your will that all of us leave here knowing where we stand with you. I pray for those who may have entered today in unbelief. Lord, maybe they've just had so many questions or doubts, or they've been afraid to put their faith in you because they thought that they weren't good enough, or they thought that they weren't doing enough. And today, Lord, your message to them is stop. Stop trying. Trust in what Jesus has done. Lord, for those who have been saved, but they've just felt that you've been distant, I pray that this morning that they would just come back to you. They would find you right close. I thank you that you tell us that you are a faithful friend, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And I pray, Lord, that our hearts would burn with a bright passion for you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'm just going to ask you to just keep your eyes closed so you can just think about your Lord and just pray and talk to him. I wonder if there's any of you that would say, you know, Thad, I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Maybe you've been trying to be good enough. Maybe you've been putting effort into getting your life right so that you feel like you could trust him. But today God's speaking to your heart and he's saying, listen, this is my work, not yours. He's already finished the work. He just wants you to accept his work. And I wonder if there's anybody here that you'd say, Thad, I want to trust Christ this morning. Then I want you to pray quietly. We all have our heads bowed. We all have our eyes closed. Just pray this quietly with me. There are no magic words. Believe this in your heart. And if you pray this and you ask Christ to save you, I'm going to encourage you to confess it with your mouth. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sin. I know that my sin has separated me from you. But I thank you that you died on the cross for my sin. And I thank you that you rose again from the grave. And I trust that this morning. And I trust just that. Lord, please save me. Make me the person that you want me to be. If anybody out there just prayed that with me, could you just slip your hand up in the air so I could rejoice with you and I could pray with you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else pray that with me just now? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You can put your hands down. What I'm going to do is we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And when we sing the song, you've prayed it. I'm going to ask you now to come and confess it to everybody. You say, well, I'm a little bit afraid to do that. You know what? Jesus wasn't afraid to be crucified on a cross for you. And I'm just going to ask you to come and shake my hand and say, I trusted Christ. I trusted him this morning. And you know what? This will be a great validation and confirmation of your faith. As we sing this last song, if you're a Christian who's lost that passion, that burn is it's gone from your, that fervor is burnt out in your soul, I'm going to ask you to just come and kneel at the front. And here on this Resurrection Sunday, fall down on your knees before God and say, God, I want to burn bright for you. Help me. And as you do that, I guarantee you that your God will meet you and he will help you. And so let's take this time as we close out the service to let our great Lord, our risen Savior, have his way in each and every one of our lives. Let's stand together as we sing. Aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Well, this morning Isaiah came up to tell us that he trusted Christ as a Savior this morning. So praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the creator of the perfect plan, the one who knew that death would bring life, to you we pray, to you we ask that our hearts would burn continually in us as we leave from here, that the resurrection and the power that it has would continue a remarkable work in each and every one of our lives. I thank you this morning for Isaiah, for his placing his faith and trust in you. And God, I just pray that all of us here would just be so excited for what you are doing in each one of our lives. So as we go from here, let us be like the two who had to run back to Jerusalem and say that Jesus is risen indeed. To the Lamb who sits on the throne, who is alive forevermore, be power and glory and honor and dominion, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Easter. The Lord bless you. Oh.